Hello, beautiful people. How are you feeling today? Are you feeling amazing? Are you feeling good? Or are you excited to learn something new? I'm sure you are excited to learn something new. Let's dive into chapter 10 using customer related data. Customer related data is essential for the execution of your CRM strategies. Proficiency at acquiring, enhancing, storing, analyzing, distributing, and using customer related data is critical to CRM performance. Strategic CRM, which focuses on winning and keeping profitable customers, relies on keeping customer-related data to identify which customers to target, win and keep, and which allow to churn. Operational CRM, which focuses on automation of marketing, selling, and customer services processes, need customer-related data to be able to run successful marketing campaigns, track sales opportunities, and deliver excellent service. The data that is employed for CRM purposes is not only about customers, but also for customers. Hence the term customer-related data and not customer data. Data about customers is not available in corporate databases maintained in functional areas such as marketing, sales, service, logistics, and accounts. But it is also available from third parties like market research firms, credit scoring agencies, and increasingly in social media such as Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. CRM, which stands for Customer Relationship Management, employs databases that are used to automatically collect, store, and analyze all the information that a company collects about its customers, whether it's a post on social media account, a purchase made at an online store, or a help desk call, or participation in a webinar. The CRM database then makes all of this information available in one customizable dashboard. A CRM database is a customer relationship management tool that allows every interaction that a business has with its customers in one place and then makes all of that information available to the company in one customizable dashboard. This means that support agents don't need to log in and out of multiple systems, copying and pasting account numbers into different software tools to get basic information about a customer. With CRM, all of the data created about customers across disparate tools, accounts, and systems is automatically stored in the database and easily accessible to everyone on the team. Structured and unstructured data. Structured data usually resides in RDBMS or relational databases. Field stores length delineated data like phone numbers, SSN numbers, or zip codes. Records even contain text strings of variable length like names, making it a simple matter to search. Data may be human or machine generated. As long as the data is created with an RDBMS structure, this format is eminently searchable, both with human generated queries and via algorithms using types of data and field names such as alphabetical or numeric, currency, or date. Common relational database applications with structured data include airline reservation systems, inventory control, sales transactions, and ATM activity. Structured query language, SQL, enables queries on this type of structured data with relational databases. Some relational databases store or point to unstructured data, such as customer relationship management applications. The integration can be awkward at best since memo fields do not lend themselves to traditional database queries. Still, most of the CRM data is structured. Structured data is highly specific and is stored in a predefined format, where unstructured data is a conglomeration of many varied types of data that are stored in their native formats. This means that structured data takes advantages of schema on write and unstructured data employs schema on read. Structured data is commonly stored in data warehouses and unstructured data is stored in data lakes. Both have cloud use potential, but structured data allows for less storage space and unstructured data requires a lot more storage space. Structured data can be used by the average business user, but unstructured data requires data science experts in order to gain accurate business intelligence. Unstructured data is essentially everything else. Unstructured data has an internal structure, but is not structured via predefined data models or schemas. It may be textual or non-textual and human or machine generated. It may also be stored within a non-relational database like NoSQL. Typical human-generated unstructured data includes text files, word processing, spreadsheets, presentations, emails, logs, so on and so forth. Email has some internal structure thanks to its metadata, and we sometimes refer to it as a semi-structured. However, its message field is unstructured and traditional analytical tools cannot parse it. Social media, data from Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of these are unstructured data. Website, YouTube, Instagram, photo sharing websites, mobile data, text messages, locations, communications, chat, IM, phone recordings, collaboration softwares, media, MP3, photos, audios, videos, business applications, MS Office documents, productivity applications, satellite imagery, weather data, landforms, military movements, scientific data such as oil and gas exploration, space exploration, so on and so forth, digital surveillance, surveillance photos and videos, sensor data such as traffic, weather, oceanographic sensors, are certain examples of unstructured data. Structured versus unstructured data, what's the difference? Besides the obvious difference between storing in a relational database and storing outside of one, the biggest difference between structured and unstructured data is the ease of analysis. Mature analytical tools exist for structured data, but analysis tools for mining unstructured data are nascent and are still developing. Users can run simple content searches across textual unstructured data, but its lack of orderly internal structure defeats the purpose of traditional data mining tools, and the enterprise gets little value from potentially valuable data sources like rich media, network, customer interactions, and social media data. On top of this, there is simply much more unstructured data than structured data. Yes, unstructured data makes up to 80% and more of enterprise data is at a growing rate of 55% and 65% a year. Without the tools to analyze this massive data category, organizations are leaving vast amounts of valuable data on the business intelligence table. A key difference between structured versus unstructured data. Characteristics. Structured data is predefined, usually text only, and very easy to search. Wherein unstructured data is not predefined, it can be text, image, sound, or videos, and it's difficult to search. Where does the structured data reside in? Relational databases, data warehouses. Unstructured data can reside in anywhere in data warehouses, data lakes, applications generated by humans or machines. Same way for unstructured data too. Typical applications of unstructured data are word processing, presentation software, email clients, wherein for structured data are airline reservation systems, inventory control, CRM systems, ERP systems, and so on and so forth. Examples of some structured data are as follows, and unstructured data are as follows. Let's take a glance at this entire table of comparison between differences of structured and unstructured data, and I hope it's clear to you by now. All right, moving forward, developing a customer-related database. While unstructured data presents some serious challenges and opportunities for CRM practitioners, the bread and butter in CRM is still the relational database. We therefore explore now in more detail how to develop and manage structured customer-related databases. Developing a customer-related database. There are 6 steps to be followed to develop a customer-related database. Define the database functions, define the information requirements, identify the information sources, select a database technology and hardware platform, populate the database, maintain the database. As simple as these 6 steps. Learning them in much more depth. Number 1, define the database functions. Database supports the 4 forms of CRM: strategic, operational, analytical, and collaborative. We learned this in earlier chapters. If you want to revise that, you can quickly go back to the first few chapters to understand more about strategic, operational, analytical, and collaborative CRMs. Strategic CRM needs data about markets, market offerings, customers, channels, competitors, performance, and potential to be able to identify which customer to target for customer acquisition, retention, and development, and what exactly to offer them. Collaborative CRM implementation generally uses operational and analytical data as described below so that partners in distribution channels can align their efforts to serve end consumers. Customer-related database is necessary for both operational and analytical CRM purposes. Operational CRM uses customer-related database to help in everyday running of the business. For example, a telecom customer service representative, CSR, needs to access a customer record when she receives a telephone query. A hotel receptionist needs access to guests' history so that she can reserve the preferred type of room, smoking or non-smoking, standard or deluxe. A salesperson needs to check a customer's payment history to find out whether the account has reached the maximum credit limit. Analytical CRM uses customer-related database to support the marketing, sales, and service decisions that aim to enhance the value created for them and from customers. For example, operational data resides in OLTP, Online Transaction Processing Database, and analytical data resides in OLAP, which is Online Analytical Processing Database. The information in the OLAP database is normally a summarized, restructured extract of the OLTP database, sufficient to perform the analytical tasks. The analytical database might also draw in data from a number of internal and external sources. For example, OLTP data needs to be very accurate and up to date. When a customer calls a contact center or inquires about an invoice, it is no use the CSR telling the customer what the average invoice is for a customer in her postcode. The customer wants personal, accurate, contemporary information. OLAP databases can perform very well with less current data. Number two, define the information requirements. The people best placed to answer the questions, what information is needed, are those who interact or communicate with the customers for sales, marketing, and service purposes, and those who have to make strategic CRM decisions. A direct marketer who is planning an email campaign might want to know how open and click-through rates and click-to-open rates for previous email campaigns, broken down by target market, offer, and execution. Operational and analytical needs like these help define the contents of customer-related databases. Senior managers reviewing a company's strategic CRM decisions will require a completely different set of information. They may want to know the following. Customer information fields. Most CRM softwares has predefined fields in different modules, whether for sales, marketing, or service applications. For example, in sales application, the number of fields of information about customers are common. Contact data, contact history, transactional history, current pipeline, future opportunities, products, and communication preferences. Contact data, who is the main contact and who else is involved in buying decisions? What are their roles? Who are the decision makers, buyers, influencers, initiators, and gatekeepers? What are the customer's invoice addresses, delivery addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email addresses, street addresses, and postal code are all a part of contact data. Then comes contact history. Who has communicated with the customer, when, about what, in which medium, and with what outcome? Transactional history. What has the customer bought and when? What has been offered to the customer but not been purchased yet? Current pipeline. What are the opportunities that are currently in the sales pipeline? What is the value of each opportunity in rupees or dollars, whatever? What is the probability of closing? Is there a 10%, 20, 90, 99, whatever chance of making a sale? Some CRM applications enable salespeople to allocate red, amber, or green signals to opportunities according to the probability of their success. Red being the lowest, green being the highest. Opportunities. Whereas transactional history looks backwards, opportunity looks forwards. This is where opportunities that have not yet been opened or discussed are recorded. Products. What products does the customer have? When were these products purchased? And when are they due for renewal? Have there been any service issues related to these products in the past? Yes or no? All of this information is required by the person. Number three, identify the information sources. Information for customer-related databases can be stored internally or externally. Prior to build the database, it is necessary to audit the company to find out what data is available. Internal data is the foundation of most CRM programs, though the amount of information available about customers depends on the degree of contact that the company has with the customer. Some companies sell through partners, agents, and distributors and have little knowledge about the demand chain beyond their immediate contact. Internal data can be found in various functional areas. Marketing might have data on market size, market segmentation, customer profiles, customer acquisition channels, marketing campaign records, product registrations, and requests for product information. Sales might have records on customer purchasing history, including recency, frequency, and monetary value. Buyer's name and contact details, account number, SIC code, important buying criteria, terms of trade such as discount and payment period, potential customers, responses to proposals, competitor products and pricing, and customer requirements and preferences. Customer service might have records of service histories, service requirements, customer satisfaction levels, customer complaints, resolved and unresolved issues, inquiries and loyalty program membership and current statuses. Finance may have data on credit ratings, account receivables and payment histories. Your webmaster may have clickstream data. Lifestyle selector databases. These databases are popular with data obtained from many millions of returned questionnaires. Experian, another intelligence company, provides geo-demographic data to its clients. External data can be classified into three groups: compiled list data, census data, model data. Compiled list data. What is compiled list data? Compiled list data is individual level data assembled by list bureau or list vendors. They build their lists from a variety of personal, household, and business sources. They might use local or council tax records, questionnaire response data, warranty card registrations, or businesses' published annual reports. Number two, census data. Census data is obtained from government census records. In different parts of the world, different information is available. Some censuses are unreliable. Others do not make much data available for non-governmental use. Number three, model data. Model data are generated by third parties from data that they assemble from a variety of sources. You buy processed rather than raw data from these sources. Often they have performed clustering routines on the data. For example, Claritas has developed a customer classification scheme called PRISM. Select the database technology and hardware platform. Customer-related database can be stored in database in a number of different ways: hierarchical, network, relational. What is hierarchical database? Hierarchical and network databases were the most common form between 1960s and 1980s. A hierarchical database is the oldest form and not well suited to most CRM applications. The only way to get access to the lower levels is to start at the top and work downwards. When data is stored in hierarchical format, you may end up working through several layers of higher level data before getting to the data you need. Product databases are generally hierarchical. A major product category will be subdivided repeatedly until all forms of the product have their own record. To extend the family tree metaphor, the network database allows children to have one, none, or more than one parent. Relational databases. Relational databases are now the standard architecture for CRM applications. Relational databases store data in two-dimensional tables comprised of rows and columns. Relational databases have one or more fields that provide a unique form of identification for each record. This is called the primary key. For sales databases, each customer is generally assigned a unique number which appears in the first column. Therefore, each row has a unique number. Companies also have other databases for marketing, service, inventory, payments, and so on and so forth. The customer's unique identifying number enables linkages to be made between the various databases. The choice of hardware platform is influenced by several conditions, such as the size of the databases, existing technology, the choice of hardware platform is influenced by several conditions. The size of databases, existing technology, the number and location of users. Many CRM applications are quite simple, but in an increasingly global marketplace, the hardware may need very careful specifications and periodic review. For example, the hardware might need to enable a geographically dispersed multilingual user group to access data for both analytical and operational purposes. Number four, RDBMS. RDBMS is a software program that allows users to create, update, and administer a relational database. There are a number of relational database management systems available from technology firms that are very well suited to CRM applications. Number five, populate the database. Having decided what information is needed and the database and hardware requirements, the next task is to obtain the data and enter it onto the database. CRM applications need data that are appropriately accurate. The main steps in ensuring that the database is populated with appropriately accurate data are as follows. Source the data, verify the data, validate the data, reduplicate the data, merge and purge data from two or more sources. When you're done with the five steps, you can finally go ahead and understand how accurate your data is. Number one, sourcing. Organizations must develop explicit processes to obtain information from customers, such as on initial sign up or when concluding a service call. Organizations cannot just rely on customers' goodwill. Data must be collected whenever interaction occurs. Verification. This task is conducted to ensure that data has been entered exactly as found in the original source. This can be a very labor-intensive process since it is generally involving keying the data in twice with the computer programmed to flag mismatches. An alternative is to check visually that the data entered match the data at the primary source. Validation. This is the concern with the checking of accuracy and how amazing. Validation. This is concerned with checking the accuracy of the data that is entered. There are a number of common inaccuracies, many associated with name, address fields, misspelled names, inappropriate salutations, and so on and so forth. A number of processes can improve data accuracy as well. Deduplication of data. This is also known as deduping. Customers become aware that their details appear more than once in a database when they receive identical communications from a company. This might occur when external data is not cross-checked against internal data. When two or more internal lists are used for the mailing, or when customers have more than one address on the database. There may be sound cost reasons for this, but from the customer's perspective, it can look wasteful and unprofessional. Deduplication software is available to help in this entire process of removing duplicate data. The deduplication process needs to be alert to the possibility of the two types of errors: removing a record that should be retained, retaining a record that should be removed. For example, you may have separate records for a customer under the different titles such as Mr. and Doctor. Maintaining the database. Customer databases need to be updated to keep them useful. Consider the following statistics. 19% of managing directors can change jobs in any year. 8% of businesses relocate in any year. In the UK, 5% of postcodes change in an average year. In Western economies, about 1.2% of the population dies each year. In the USA, over 40 million people change addresses each year. It does not take long for databases to degrade. Companies can maintain data integrity in a number of ways. Data integration. Data integration is the process of bringing data from disparate sources together to provide users with a unified view. The premise of data integration is to make data more freely available and easier to consume and process by systems and users. Data integration done right can reduce IT costs, free up resources, improve data quality, and foster innovation, all without sweeping changes to existing applications or data structures. And though IT organizations have always had to integrate, the payoff for doing so has potentially never been as great as it is right now. Companies with mature data integration capabilities have significant advantages over their competition, which includes increased operational efficiency by reducing the need to manually transform and combine data sets, better data quality through automated data transformations that apply business rules to data, more valuable insights, development through a holistic view of data that can be more easily analyzed. A digital business is built around data and the algorithms that process it, and it extracts maximum value from its information assets from everywhere across the business ecosystem at any time it is needed. Within a digital business, data and related services flow unimpeded yet securely across the IT landscape. Data integration enables a full view of the information flowing through an organization and gets your data ready for analysis. Source data, data transformation logic, and the destination data. The evolution of data integration. The scope and importance of data integration has completely changed. Today, we augment business capabilities by leveraging standard SaaS applications, all while continuing to develop customer applications. With a rich ecosystem of partners ready to leverage an organization's information, the information about an organization's services that gets exposed to customers is now as important as the services themselves. Today, integrating SaaS, custom, and partner applications and the data contained within them is a requirement. These days, an organization differentiates by combining business capabilities in a unique way. For example, many companies are analyzing data in motion and at rest, using their findings to create business rules and then applying those rules to respond even faster to newer data. Typical goals for this type of information or innovation are stickier user experiences and improved business operations. Data warehousing. A data warehouse is a central repository of information that can be analyzed to make more informed decisions. Data flows into a data warehouse from transactional systems, relational databases, and other sources, typically on a regular cadence. Business analysts, data engineers, data scientists, and decision makers access the data through business intelligence tools, SQL clients, and other analytical applications. Data analytics have become indispensable to businesses to stay competitive. Business users rely on reports, dashboards, and analytical tools to extract insights from their data, monitor business performance, and support decision making. Data warehousing powers these reports, dashboards, and analytical tools by storing data efficiently to minimize the input and output of data and deliver query results quickly to hundreds and thousands of users concurrently. How is a data warehouse architected? A data warehouse architecture is made up of tiers. The top tier is the front end that represents results through reporting, analysis, and data mining tools. The middle tier consists of analyticals engine that is used to access and analyze the data. The bottom tier of the architecture is the database server, where data is loaded and stored. Data is stored in two different types of ways. Data that is accessed frequently is stored in very fast storage like SSD drives, and data that is infrequently accessed is stored in a cheap object store like Amazon S3. On the top tier, you get all the reports, analysis, and data mining tools. The middle tier consists of analytical engines, and the bottom tier consists of the database server where data is loaded and stored. So the data warehouse will automatically make sure that frequently accessed data is moved into the fast storage so that your query speed is optimized. Whatever needs to be accessed more often is going to go into the fast storage, and others are going to go into a slower storage like Amazon S3. How does a data warehouse work? A data warehouse may contain multiple databases. Within each database, data is organized into tables and columns. Within each column, you can define a description of the data such as integer, data field, or strings. Tables can be organized inside of schemas, which you can think of as folders. When data is ingested, it is stored in various tables described by the schema. Query tools use the schema to determine which data tables to access and analyze. These query tools are going to help you understand which tools or which tables to fetch the data from, which ones to analyze, and which ones are important for you or that particular problem or query. What are the benefits of using a data warehouse? Benefits of using a data warehouse include informed decision making, consolidated data from many sources. बहुत सारी जगहों से एक जगह पर data store करने के लिए you will need this. Historical data analysis, whatever older data is done, what is the analysis or what is the analysis that you can take forward. Data quality, consistency, and accuracy. Separation of analytics processing from transactional databases, which improves performance of both the systems. A simple example of data warehousing, how the data is stored in a data warehouse. Data warehouse looks like something like this. Metadata on top, summary data, raw data, and data which is going to be used for mining. There are six important components of a data warehouse. Operational database, flat files, mining, analysis, and reporting. We will learn everything in much more depth, but over here, these three are your data sources, and those three are your business intelligence users. One who might be analyzing the data, one who might be mining the data, one who's creating reports, which can then be useful for you to analyze and understand what information can you make out of this data and how can you use it in your business or in your company or in your decision-making process. How does a data warehouse work? A data warehouse works as a central repository where information arrives from one or more data sources. Data flows into a data warehouse from a transactional system and other relational databases. Data may be unstructured, semi-structured, or structured. The data is processed, transformed, and ingested so that users can access the processed data in the data warehouse through business intelligence tools, SQL clients, and spreadsheets. A data warehouse merges information coming from different sources into one comprehensive database. By merging all of this information in one place, an organization can analyze its customers more holistically. This helps to ensure that it has considered all the information available. Data warehousing makes data mining possible. You cannot mine data, cannot take out any meaning out of data if there is no data warehousing done. If the data is not stored properly, you'll not be able to mine it, you'll not be able to look for patterns in the data, which might lead to higher sales and higher profits. types of data warehousing. Number one, enterprise data warehouse. This is the first out of the three data warehouse types. Enterprise data warehouse, EDW, is a centralized warehouse. It provides decision support service across the enterprise. It offers a unified approach for organizing and representing data. It also provides the ability to classify data according to the subject and give access according to those divisions. Number two is operational data store. Operational data store, which is also called ODS, are nothing but data store required when neither data warehouse nor OLTP systems support organizations' reporting needs. In ODS, data warehouse is refreshed in real time. Hence, it is widely preferred for routine activities like storing records of the employees, because you need multiple changes and multiple refreshing in this kind of a data. That is going to be a part of ODS. Number three, data mart. A data mart is the subset of the data warehouse. It is specially designed for a particular line of business, such as sales or finance. In an independent data mart, data can be collected directly from sources. You don't need to wait for other things, but you can directly collect the data from the relevant sources. Thank you so much.